Todd Tammer here with Paradigm Shift, and thank you again for joining us today. As always, we want to give all glory, thanksgiving, honor, praise, and worship, and everything in and of ourselves to the Father of our forefathers, Yahuwah Elohim, who sits in the heaven of heavens with our King, Yahushua HaMashiach, sitting at his right hand, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool.
Baruch atah Yahuwah, Zuri Hamloned, Yedai Lakrav, Et Beotai Lamilchama. Blessed be Yahuwah, my rock, who teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. That's Psalms 144, verse 1. And that is important that you realize that you do have to fight. You don't roll over and take it. You have a job to do. And if you didn't hear the last show we did, part one called Strategic Mind Control Through the Lawless Hearts of Man, please go back and make sure you understand what we covered in part one, because it is the foundation of how you can be set free from what we're about to show you, and how we're about to show you how they've woven a matrix around you to where you don't even know that there's something outside that's different. They've worked very hard to make sure of that.
They predetermine what you're going to know, and then they present it to you as if it was your idea. And that's how they control you, Mishpachah. And we're going to be going into the Delphi technique in this series, and another article that's the 16 signs
you're a slave to the matrix.
16 signs that you're a slave to the matrix.
And so,
when Tamara's talking about fighting, what do we fight with? What's our weapon? What's our weapon against lies? It's truth. It's truth. It exposes everything. It'll cause people to just go totally off their rocker if you stay focused on the truth. And you can keep your heart on the truth. You research the truth, find out the truth, and keep speaking the truth as you're convicted to do.
And it's even more powerful as long as you keep, and when you keep your emotions in check. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have a time to yell, a time to say no more. But the more that you can keep your emotions quelled and out of the arena, the more power you have to get the truth across.
The more his spirit will flow through, because there isn't fear in the way.
And that's what we...
Like Tamara said, sometimes you have to lay down the law.
Absolutely. Yahshua did it. He whipped people. He overthrew the tables and whipped them.
He chastised the emissaries of our forefathers, the 12 apostles, as they call them.
There is a time for war.
Many times. And there is time for you to say no more. And that is when a heart is going to be so stubborn and just continue to abuse, and blame others for their issues that are in their heart. As David Matthews quotes a lot of times from Scripture, for out of the heart it comes the issues of life.
And Proverbs 22:10 says,
I may have butchered that a little bit, so sorry.
Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. There is a time to cast somebody out of your midst. You don't have to put up with them forever. Mm-mm. You're supposed to get away from a divisive man, somebody who walks contrary to the truth.
If people won't sit down and reason with you for whatever their emotional outbursts are, or issues that they have during the day or something like that, then all you're going to be going through with them is more and more the same every single time. It's an alcoholic returning to the bar. It's a banker returning to the bank.
They never get better.
Man returning to
the
bank.
They never throw out error. They just hang on and cling to all the things that make them feel okay because they're so destroyed inside.
A Christian returning to the Gregorian calendar or the Christmas tree, or a Jew returning to Hanukkah and the Hallel 2 calendar.
A Christian who's come out of the understanding of the lies of Christianity and is just jumping right back into the fire by jumping into Judaism and rabbinism, just being consumed with what the rabbis say. It's still delusion. You're not thinking for yourself.
That's an interesting word, rabbinism.
Like rabid.
Rabbinism. Rabbinism. So the rabbinism was, we were reading on the roots of that, so that's where we're going to go.
I don't even know if that is a word, by the way.
Yeah, rabbinism. Rabbinism. Okay. We just pronounce it differently. But the roots of that, it came after Yeshua. It was being slowly developed during that time period over the battle of the many, between our people that were in the land at that time, which included northern 10 tribers and the southern 2 tribers. Mostly dominated by the southern 2 tribers, but mostly dominated by the lines of Esau and the Edomites, who had taken on, as wolves in sheep's clothing, the priesthood of our brothers of Yehuda. And then out of that, and all that mixture and confusion of where we've come from, you know, our history and all that, we get rabbinism. Rabbinism putting a rabbi, just like the Pope, over Christianity or Protestantism, or the Queen of England over Protestantism. They would put a man over the top of things, and they decide that they can change the law, they can do whatever they want.
They can change the calendar, they change the times and seasons, literally.
They become more important than our Abba in heaven and his word that he's written down for you personally to read and work out for yourself by searching out these truths that we're telling you about.
That's right, and they actually state that they are more important, they have more authority than Yahweh the Creator. They actually state that in the Talmud, and they state that in the Pope's, whatever he stated it in. And
his decree, I think it was Pope Clement that first decreed that he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords over the entire earth. He owns everything, and they made your first stock certificates, which are your birth certificates.
While
the Vatican
writing,
owns every birth certificate on the planet, Mishpachah.
Okay, and so our first show in the series, what we talked about was getting a pure heart and a right spirit and the ways that that looks and how to identify if you're not having a pure heart and a right spirit. So now we're talking about how to fight the war. You know, once you begin to understand, you have to recognize the enemy, and you got to locate the battlefield.
And
we're going to bring that to you.
You got to know that, you always know his techniques, because as Abba says, he turns everything they do upside down. Their techniques of mind control is exact opposite of the techniques of Yah and his Torah, which is healing the brokenhearted and setting the captives free. Theirs
prey on the brokenhearted.
It teaches us to do what we do on an individual level with our families and friends and stuff, business partners or at our jobs. But what we do is we get injured hearts, and then we have to obfuscate and never get to the point.
Avoid
everything in denial and
hide
and turn the blame around on the person that's pointing out truth. That is a satanic judge. And the exact opposite of that is a righteous person sitting as the facilitator that we're going to read about in the Delphi technique.
Okay, so we'll start with the 16 signs that you're a slave to the matrix. We're just going to start with the introductory paragraph, and then we're going to get into the Delphi technique, and then we'll get back to the 16 signs and go through some of them in more detail, because they're very important.
Where's that article come from, Mama?
This comes from Waking Times.
Mm-hmm.
And we love the staff writer. They named themselves Sigmund Freud, which is so perfect.
It is perfect.
If you understand history. Yeah. Okay, so today's world is a strange place. We're inundated with signals from early on in life, encouraging each of us to walk a particular path, establishing blinders on us along the way to discourage us from looking for alternatives to what the herd is doing or thinking.
Broken hearts are the blinders.
Yep, life is so complex that over time, if we are paying attention, we realize that there are an infinite number of possibilities to what the human experience could be. And we come to see that the world is on fire because individuals all too frequently, infrequently question why things are the way they are. They don't do it. They don't question it. They're failing to notice that their mindset or behavior needs adjustment in favor of more intelligent, commonsensical, or sustainable patterns of existence. So we're going to do 16 signs that you're a slave to the matrix, and they're meant purely as observational approach to helping you identify the areas of your life where you may be missing an opportunity to liberate yourself from someone else's destructive design for your life.
It's your responsibility, Mishpachah, and you got to take it back because you've been herded into little pens. Okay, so now we're going to go on with the article. And this comes from the Virginia Land Rights Coalition.
That's by Albert
website.
Burns.
And it's by Albert Burns. It's called the Delphi Technique, and the article is titled as "Let's Stop Being Manipulated." And number one thing you should recognize that Delphi is an ancient pagan oracle and site that was in Greece, and it still is there today. And like Tamara said in the beginning of this, is what, how they set you up is they've already predetermined the things that are going to happen. You know, they know when the signs of the sun, moon, and stars are going to line up. They predetermine their actions. They prepare you, the public, for it. And anyone who goes, who says something against these predetermined actions and the facilitator that has presented to you these ideas, they call you today, like in the broader world, a conspiracy theorist. So,
right. So the Delphi is an oracle of Apollo. And this is what we're talking about when we, all this blood red moon delusion we're talking about is we're telling you they already pre-dialed in when they want to do the wars and how they want to do them and what they want to do with these tetrads. It's not some just a miracle, miraculous occurring sign of the time. And we have to be aware of that, because what are they leading you into? They're leading into you into the Jewish calendar and the Noahide laws. And that's going to make many of you lose your heads.
Very possibly.
Heads chopped off.
They've been working hard at the UN to get those Noahide laws installed. And actually, the Congress, I think it was in 78, I can't remember the exact date, but it was sometime in that time period where Congress approved the Noahide laws for the law of the land of the United States.
And if you're not careful, you will too, because they just sound so wonderful and simple until you find out that they're actually going to, they're planning to behead you with just one witness. They're literally turning, you know, Abba's word.
For keeping things like Shabbat or saying Yeshua's name or Yahweh's name, Yahuwah's name.
Yep.
So, okay, so now we're going to go on with this Delphi technique. More and more, we are seeing citizens being invited to participate in various forms of meetings, councils, or boards to help determine public policy in one field or another. And they begin this in school, Mishpacha, in their programming paradigm schools. You know, they break you up into little groups, and you're going to hear this. And then it's in everything that that is in your life today, all these boards and councils and presidents and Congress and Senates. This technique is what is destroying you, and you are practicing it. This is also
your
called
managerial meetings at Walmart.
This is also called magic and sorcery, according to Scripture. Remember, magic is mind control. It's simplest definition. And sorcery is using the environment to manipulate people's minds so you can accomplish the first goal, which is magic, mind control. Okay, so going on. So we're being
they're supposedly being included.
We're being taught to go, you know, into various forms of meetings, councils, or boards to help determine public policy in one field or another. They're supposedly being included to get input from the public to help officials make final decisions on taxes, education, community growth, or whatever the particular subject matter might be. It could be the Torah, the calendar, the scriptures. It could be religious. It could be, it's anything. It's everywhere, Mishpacha. Sounds great, doesn't it? Unfortunately, surface appearances are often deceiving. You, Mr. or Mrs. Citizen, decide to take part in one of these meetings. Generally, you will find that there is already someone designated to lead or facilitate the meeting. Supposedly, the job of the facilitator is to be a neutral, non-directing helper to see that the meeting flows smoothly. And I got to stop here and tell you that it was in the 1950s that it was the Rand Corporation, part of the military-industrial complex owned by the Sorcerer Kings who control the fiat dollar printing money reserve system around the world that enslaves the entire world through usury, destruction, war, stealing, killing, and murder.
Booyah.
Okay. The Rand Corporation developed this Delphi technique for manipulation of people because, again, they present the idea. They already got the outcome decided.
I think they're
decided.
About to say all that.
Right.
Okay.
Actually, he or she is there for exactly the opposite reason. To see the facilitator is there. The facilitator is there for exactly the opposite reason. To see that the conclusions reached during the meeting are in accord with a plan already decided upon by those who called the meeting. AKA mind control, folks. The process used to facilitate the meeting is called the Delphi technique. This Delphi technique was developed by the Rand Corporation for the U.S. Department of Defense back in the 1950s. It was originally intended for use as a psychological weapon during the Cold War. However, it was soon recognized that the steps of Delphi could be very valuable in manipulating any meeting toward a predetermined end. How does the process take place? The techniques are well developed and well defined. First, the person who will be leading the meeting, the facilitator or change agent, must be a likable person with whom those participating in the meeting can agree or sympathize. It is, therefore, the job of the facilitator to find a way to cause a split in the audience, to establish one or a few of the people as the bad guys, while the facilitator is perceived as the good guy. Facilitators are trained to recognize potential opponents and how to make such people appear aggressive, foolish, extremists, etc. Once this is done, the facilitator establishes himself or herself as the friend of the rest of the audience. The stage is now set for the rest of the agenda to take place. At this point, the audience is generally broken up into discussion or breakout groups of 7 or 8 people each. Each of these groups is to be led by a subordinate facilitator. Within each group, discussion takes place of issues already decided upon by the leadership of the meeting. Here, too, the facilitator manipulates the discussion in the desired direction, isolating and demeaning opposing viewpoints. Generally, the participants are asked to write down their ideas and disagreements with the papers to be turned in and compiled for general discussion after the general meeting is reconvened. This is the weak link in the chain, which you are not supposed to recognize. Who compiles the various notes into the final agenda for discussion? Ah, well, it is those who are running the meeting. How do you know that the ideas on your notes were included in the final result? You don't. You may realize that your idea was not included and come to the conclusion that you were probably in the minority. Recognize that every other citizen member of this meeting has written his or her likes or dislikes on a similar sheet of paper, and they, too, have no idea whether their ideas were compiled in the final result. You don't even know if anyone's ideas are part of the final conclusions presented to the reassembled group as the consensus of public opinion.
It's kind of the same thing they did when they took the vote and they made it private and they got everybody secretively voting for different people like that was some kind of right. Instead of having the pride and the authority in yourself to do what they used to do, which was they stand in the gymnasiums and all who voted for one guy raised their hands and said yay, and all who voted for another guy stood up and raised their hands. Now people are so cowardly they won't even tell you who they voted for. They tricked you into doing that so that you would never even know that they were manipulating the votes.
That's right. And the bottom line is people, that's the simplicity of that is we have to let our yeses be yeses and our noes be noes, and we have to be convicted enough upon our own understanding of the truth that we've sought out in our lives to stand upon those
things.
That's
right.
If you're not able to stand on your own, Mishpacha, in the belief that you have, you've got some serious heart searching and truth seeking to do. Okay. Rarely does anyone challenge this process, since each concludes that he or she was in the minority and different from all the others. So now those who organized the meeting in the first place are able to tell the participants and the rest of the community that the conclusions reached at the meeting are the result of public participation. Actually, the desired conclusions had been established in the back room long before the meeting ever took place. Sound like your politics and everything else today, Mishpacha? There are variations in the technique to fit special situations, but in general, the procedure outlined above takes place. The natural question to ask here is, if the outcome was preordained before the meeting took place, why have the meeting? Herein lies the genius of the Delphi technique. It is imperative that the general public believe that this program is theirs. They thought it up. They took part in its development. Their input was recognized. So what they do is they stroke people's pride and ego.
Right. The next sentence is awesome.
If people believe that the program is theirs, they will support it.
Yep.
If they get the slightest hint that the program is being imposed upon them, they will resist. This very effective technique is being used over and over and over to change our form of government from the representative republic intended by the founding fathers into a participatory democracy. Now, citizens chosen at large are manipulated into accepting preset outcomes while they believe that the input they provided produced the outcomes which are now theirs. The reality is that the final outcome was already determined long before any public meetings took place, determined by individuals unknown to the public. Can you say conspiracy? These change agents or facilitators can be beaten. They may be beaten using their own methods against them. Because it is so important, I will repeat the suggestions I have in the last previous column. 1, never, never lose your temper. Lose your temper and lose the battle. It's that simple. Smile if it kills you, even if it kills you to do so. Be courteous at all times. Speak in a normal tone of voice. 2, stay focused. Always write your question or statement down in advance to help you remember the exact manner in which your question or statement was made. These agents are trained to twist things to make anyone not acceding to their agenda look silly or aggressive. Smile. Wait till the change agent gets done speaking and then bring them back to your question. If they distort what you said, simply remind those in the group that what he or she is saying is not what you asked or said, and then repeat verbatim from your notes the original objection. 3. Be persistent. Wait through any harangues, and then repeat the original question. 4. Let's see.
Don't go alone.
That's very important, Mishpachah. Get as many friends or relatives who think as you do to go along with you to the meeting. Have each person armed with questions or statements which all generally support your central viewpoint. Don't sit together as a group. Spread out through the audience so that your group does not seem to be a group. When the facilitator or change agent avoids answering your question and insists that he must move on so everyone may have a chance to speak, your own agents in the audience can then ask questions worded differently but still with the same meaning as yours. They can bring the discussion back to your original point. They could even point out in a friendly manner that the agent did not really answer your question. The more the agent avoids your question and the more your friends bring that to the attention of the group, the more the audience will shift in your favor. To quote from someone that wrote in on this subject, turn the technique back on them and isolate the change agent as the kook. I've done it and seen steam come out of the ears of those power brokers in the wings who are trying to shove something down the citizens' throats. And it's so much fun to watch the moderator squirm and lose his cool, all while trying to keep a smile on his face. Now that you understand how meetings are manipulated, let's show them up for the charlatans that they are.
And this has been what Father has trained Todd and I up in, just through personal experience in a lot of ways. We've actually seen how this works and been, developed into people who can stay on point and stay in truth and not be misdirected, which is why we do paradigm shift. Mm-hmm. Because we're constantly discerning the good from the evil. We've worked hard to earn this discernment. It wasn't something that we just magically acquired. We cared enough to look things up and develop our own opinions.
In our brokenhearted ways, Mishpachah, we're all brokenhearted facilitators in our own special ways, where we can blame others, we can confuse ideas, we can get the misdirection going, and then we can turn it all upside down, where the person who's speaking to us about the truth that we are hiding in our hearts, the things we're trying to avoid, they become the enemy. And then that gives justification for those people to run off and keep doing the same thing they're doing over and over again, expecting different results.
Which is the definition of insanity.
And total insanity.
So they can run off and go and be insane, mm-hmm. while they originally came around because they desired something that looked like peace and order. There was harmony. They desire those things, mm-hmm. and they'll be gravitated towards them. But then they don't want to do the work to attain them, and that work is heart work. Mm-hmm. It's looking inward. It's being willing to root out the disgusting mm-hmm. evil places.
So you can become a righteous and right ruling facilitator.
Yes.
Because what a facilitator of Yah does, a judge of Yah, what you do is you look out for the best things of the others, the issues that others have.
The interests of others.
You're looking actually for the real consensus and the right ruling that is to be had in that meeting. You're actually taking in what they have to say.
The Philippians 2, 3,
and you're not using it
five.
Against them. And that's what a facilitator in the satanic demonic operation mindset in brokenhearted spirit world, it teaches everybody to do. Take advantage of those who take advantage of others always.
Yeah, and actually very well and craftily mm-hmm. manipulate them.
And
that's
what
it's all about. It's
get
magic.
Them willing to be taken advantage of, just uh-huh. like the populations of the world are doing today, enslaved to the empire that controls the world. The satanic sorcerer kings who control your economics, education, politics,
your calendar,
your media, your calendar, the dates and times and seasons that you worship on. And most of you have no idea where that come from, and you don't really care where it came from because everybody else is
doing
tying,
it.
Tying a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree.
So most people are comfortable in the boat. And at Paradigm Shift, we're trying to support the people who are trying to get out of the boat, who don't want to just be led with the sheeple everywhere and do the lemming runs back and forth from one issue to another. No, we want to support the people out there who really do care and really want to seek it out and are willing to humble themselves and submit themselves, who understand reproof and discipline and actually have a love for it because they understand that that is how Abba draws them in.
That's right.
In.
And walk with people instead of on top of people to build yourself up time and again.
Yes.
And Yeshua HaMashiach, hallelujah. Yeshua HaMashiach's name keeps lifting up.
Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Respect your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet.